As in past Yamim Tovim, or preceding Yamim Tovim, this year is dedicated by the family of Dr. Chuck Feldman, Zichrono Livracha, in memory of an exemplary model of dedication to family, community, and Torah education, Yizichro Baruch. I have a special connection to the sons, studied in the yeshiva, and we've remained close ever since, so it's it's a special for me that I'm able to give a shiur dedicated to Dr. Feldman's memory. What I'd like to do is talk a little bit about Shavuot and a little bit about Bamidbar, the Parashat HaShavuot, and hopefully when we get through it all, it'll all make some sort of sense. First, I want to mention, how is it that we refer to Chag HaShavuot in the Torah? The Torah is not shy about Shavuot, but it's actually what we call Shavuot, which is a holiday that takes place after the 49th day of the Omer. It was unlike other holidays, which have dates, right? Sukkot has a date, the 15th of Tishrei, and Pesach has a date, the 15th of Nisan. Shavuot doesn't have a date. It is not a date in the month of Sivan. Now, it's a little confusing because today, Shavuot does have a date. Shavuot today is always on the sixth day of Sivan. But that's because we have what is called an intercalated calendar, which means that we make the calendar do what we want it to do. So for some reason we wanted the day of Shavuot to come out on the sixth day of Sivan, so we make it do that. Because in our calendar, we don't really pay attention to the new moon, which is what the Torah directs us to do and what the Mishnayot in Rosh Hashanah tell us to do. You look at the moon and you know it's Rosh Chodesh. Now, if you were in shul last week, at some time or other, they did Birkat, what they called Birkat Kiddush HaChodesh. Okay, that itself is its own problem, but there's a minhag that after the first big paragraph, somebody announces the molad. Somebody. This is, not a job for which you have to pay money, but it's a job. You have to announce the molad. Now, Rosh Chodesh was, when was Rosh Chodesh?
Yesterday.
Yeah, yesterday.
Tuesday.
Tuesday is yesterday. Yesterday was Rosh Chodesh, right? But the molad, which means when you could see the new moon, which we know about because of astronomy and kindred subjects, was on Monday. The announcement said that the new moon will be sighted on Monday, and Rosh Chodesh was on Tuesday, which means that today, except for like a general kind of the same vicinity kind of thing, but in general, Rosh Chodesh and the sighting of the new moon have nothing to do with each other anymore. So you remember, in the olden times, witnesses would come to the Beit Din in Yerushalayim. If you've learned the Mishnayot in Rosh Hashanah, they would come and they would say, "We have seen the new moon." And based on that, the fact that they had seen the new moon, the Beit Din in Yerushalayim would announce Rosh Chodesh on that day. There was a problem that there was certain sacrifices that have to be brought on Rosh Chodesh, certain special sacrifices. Now, how do we know that? How do we know it? Because we say Musaf on Rosh Chodesh. Right? There's a tefillah called Tefillat Musaf. When do we say Musaf? When there is a Musaf sacrifice. So in the olden times, They would bring special sacrifices on Rosh Chodesh. And therefore, they had to accept the witnesses early enough in the day so that they could get it organized and give these sacrifices in the temple on Rosh Chodesh. So they said that even though generally the Beit Din accepts witnesses until nighttime, that's when they kind of close up at nighttime. Here, in this case, they ended the day early to make sure that if the witnesses would show up, they would have enough time in the Beit HaMikdash to give the necessary sacrifices. In the course of time, Rosh Chodesh became a problem because the Samaritans, Shomronim, Kutim, they're called by these various names, Samaritans who still actually exist in Israel. And, you know, about once in every 20 years, National Geographic does a big story on the Samaritans. So you could go through it that way. I don't know about Discovery Channel, whether they do it. But they're interesting because they still give sacrifices. So, you know, National Geographic, they're a little anti-Semitic. Not more than many others, but a little anti-Semitic. So they get a kick out of saying that there's a Jewish group that is giving sacrifices someplace or other, which is something that's totally different than making a barbecue. Well, it's like, really, it's a barbecue. But actually, they get annoyed because it's called a sacrifice. So, there were these problems with Rosh Chodesh. They had to announce Rosh Chodesh to the entire Jewish world. The way they did it was they built a fire on this mountain, and then the people on the next mountain saw the fire. The first, they built the fire, and they built the fire, and they built the fire. They went all the way to Babylon. These fires, and then everybody would get to know when Rosh Chodesh was. So if it was Rosh Chodesh Nisan, you had 15 days to find out when Rosh Chodesh was. Because it's only in the Beit HaMikdash that they did something special. But on Pesach, everybody's going to do something special. So they had to figure out when Pesach was. So 15 days, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, it was possible to figure it out. When they started messing up with these fires and the Rosh Chodesh, it became a problem, but not so much a problem as Shavuot. Because Shavuot, I told you, is the 50th day throughout the Omer. So really, it shouldn't be a problem at all. But we'll see that there was a little bit of a problem, even for Shavuot, which took place at the beginning of the month. Okay, that's Shavuot. That's not Shavuot. So I just wanted to make sure that we understand that the calendar, the Jewish calendar, which became fixed at the end of the Tannaitic period, we think. I mean, I'm telling you things that other people say, right? I'm not a world expert on most things, and certainly not on the calendar. But most people say that Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, who had a grandson named Rabbi Yehuda Nisiya, and he was kind of responsible for promulgating the calendar that we use today. So that means that the calendar was a mess, and then it got straightened out. And one of the things that was straightened out about the calendar was that no longer was Shavuot the 49th day of Sfirat HaOmer, come what may. Because between Pesach, which is in Nisan, Iyar and Sivan, two Rosh Chodeshes, right? Each Rosh Chodesh could be 2 days or 1 day. If both of them were 2 days, Rosh Chodesh would be the second day was Aleph. That means you push it off, sort of in the date. The date of Shavuot gets pushed off. Or if the witnesses came immediately after the 29th day of the previous month, so it didn't matter. It didn't matter what the date was according to the Torah. It only mattered that it was 49, the 50th day after the first day of Pesach. But once the calendar or the counting got messed up in different ways, This became a problem. Eventually, it turned into what we call a luach. And the luach, the exciting thing about the luach is, you just look at the luach, and you know everything. You don't have to know anything. But you have to remember that the luach had standardized the date of Shavuot, Vav Sivan, every single year. Whereas according to the Torah, that would not be the case. That would not be the case. Now, why did this happen? I preface everything by, I don't know. So I don't have to say that anymore. So now I say, why did this happen? Well, there's an anomaly when it comes to Shavuot. Shavuot is mentioned, the holiday of Shavuot is mentioned 3 times in the Torah under 3 different names. So if we look at it, you see the first pasuk, Chag HaTzatzir, Bikurei Ma'asecha Asher Tizra B'Sadeh, V'Chag HaAsif, V'Tzeit HaShana B'Aspecha Et Ma'asecha Min HaSadeh. So Chag, the word Chag, in the Torah, well, the word Chag is it's not an obvious word. It means to go around. Why a Chag is called a Chag has to do with going around, I don't know. But the Chagim that we know about are called also the Torah Mikra'ei Kodesh, which is an allusion to the fact that you don't do Melacha. Certain Melacha is not done on the Chag. Just as on Shabbat, we don't do certain melacha. So here in this pasuk, there are 2 chagim that are mentioned. Chag HaKatzir and Chag HaAsif. Chag HaKatzir is the time of Shavuot, and Chag HaAsif, because of the time of Sukkot. Now what does Rashi say? You see Rashi? Chag HaKatzir, who Chag HaShavuot? Who Chag HaShavuot? Now why does Rashi call it Chag HaShavuot? I mean, Chag HaKatzir, because we don't call it Chag HaKatzir. We are not so connected to the agricultural cycle of things. We don't call it Chag HaKatzir. And Rashi says, that's what we call Chag HaShavuot. We call Chag HaShavuot. If that, I'm not sure that that's true. Let's look at the second pasuk. The second pasuk says, Yom HaBikurim Ba'kivchem Mincha Chadashah Hashem. Biyom HaBikurim, the day of the bringing of Bikurim. Bikurim are the first fruits, right? Which in the Torah are discussed in several places, but also at the end of the Torah. Rashi says, Biyom HaBikurim, Chag HaShavuot, Karui Bikurei Ktzir Chitim. Al Shem Shtei HaLechem, because they brought on that holiday this Shtei HaLechem to the Beit HaMikdash, these 2 loaves made from new wheat. Al Shem Shtei HaLechem, Shehem Rishonim LeMinchat Chitim, Aba'im Min HaChadash. Oh, Rashi tells a lot of things, right? They are the first sacrifice made of wheat and flour brought Min HaChadash, right? The new wheat. The new wheat, most people know that there is such a prohibition, which may even exist in Chutz La'aretz, which has become very popular in recent years. In recent years, I find it amazing to what extent Jews will go to distinguish themselves from their neighbors, their Jewish neighbors, not non-Jews. And there's somebody I know in Muncie who tracks barrels of flour. How are the flour covered? The sacks, these big sacks of flour. He tracks them. And so he can tell you which bakery in the United States of America is suspected of using non-chadash, right? Yashan. Okay, so here it says that this pasuk that we just read, one second, it says Yom HaBikurim. So Rashi says, Chag HaShavuot, Karui Bikurei Ktzir Chitim, Al Shem Shtei HaLechem, Shem Rishonim L'Michat Chitim, Abayim HaChadash. That's a special sacrifice that you bring in the Beit HaMikdash on Shavuot. And therefore the Torah says that the name of the holiday is Chag HaBikurim. Because on the day of the holiday is the Yom HaBikurim. And Rashi says Chag HaShavuot. And as Rashi says, we call it Shavuot. That's what we call it. But the Torah calls it either Chag HaKatzir or Chag HaBikurim. Now the next Pasuk. Vasita Chag, Pasuk, Dvarim Perek Tetzayim Pasuk Yud, Vasita Chag Shavuot LaShem Elokecha. Misat nidvat niyatcha asher titek asher yivaracha asher elokecha. Vasita, a positive commandment. Right, do something. Chag Shavuot LaShem Elokecha. What does that mean? What's Chag HaShavuot? Well, it's the Chag that comes at the end of the counting of the Sfirat HaOmer. Chag HaShavuot LaShem Elokecha. Misat nidvat yadcha asher. Titein, right? You have to bring some kind of offering. Somehow in line with the bracha that you receive from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rashi says, Dai ti nitvat yadecha, hakol lefi habracha. You bring in accordance with the bracha that you have received. Havei shalvei simcha, v'kadesh kru'im le'chol. So you offer great pleasure and great joy in accordance with what you've reaped and harvested, you offer this sacrifice. So we could say that in the Torah, this holiday has three names. Chag HaKatzir, right, that's one name. Chag HaBikurim is another name. And the third name is Shavuot. The name that has become popular, as Rashi points out, over time, is Chag HaShavuot. But this is not entirely true. This is not entirely true. Because we don't call it Chag HaShavuot. At least, when the going gets rough, we don't call it Chag HaShavuot. But if you remember, when you make Kiddush on Yontif, on Shavuot, when you daven, the Shmona Esrei of Shavuot. What do you call it? Zman Matan Toratim. Now that is absolutely incorrect for two reasons. First, we don't know when Zman Matan Toratim was. There's a machloket in the Gemara, whether it took place on Vav Sivan or Zayin Sivan. Now since we always have Shavuot on Vav Sivan, except for people in Chutz Laaretz who are lovers of punishment, so they add another day. But it doesn't count, because the second day is never as good as the first. So the Zman Matan Torateinu is like a new idea. It doesn't exist in the Torah. Nothing ever said anything about making a holiday out of Zman Matan Torateinu. But in the Sidur of the Rambam, and in the Siddur of Amram Goen, and in the Siddur of Rashi, right? All these early Siddurim that were kind of compiled by or edited by Rishonim or Gaonim, which means, you know, serious stuff. Shavuot is always called Zman Matan Torateinu. Always. And even though there's no indication in the Torah that we should make a holiday out of Matan Torateinu, and there's a good reason for that in my opinion, we have imposed a holiday. Now that's not the holiday that we call Simchat Torah. Simchat Torah is a holiday about something that we just completed. We finished the Torah, we went through it. It could be at any time. We could do it at any time. And you know that there was a machloket between Eretz Yisrael and Bavel in the time of the Gaonim, that in Bavel, I often get this mixed up. But in one of them, they used the triennial cycle. And in the other, the annual cycle. You know what I mean? Yeah. In Eretz Yisrael, they read the Torah in 3 years. What?
Eretz Yisrael was triennial.
Yeah. Eretz Yisrael was?
Was triennial.
Oh, Eretz Yisrael, yeah, you see, it's always good.
I agree with
it's true. Yeah. Eretz Yisrael was triennial. because the Gaonim in Babel had a tremendous influence on the rest of the Jewish world, much more than Eretz Yisrael. So in Eretz Yisrael, they had this great idea that they would cut down the amount of time you had to go to shul on Shabbos. So they only read a third of the parsha every week, and therefore they finished the Torah in 3 years, every 3 years. Every 3 years is not such a great time to have a holiday. But in Bavel, they had too many days of Sukkot. You may have noticed. There are just too many days of Sukkot, too much. And the end of Sukkot, the end of Sukkot doesn't have, it's called Shmini Atzeret, right? Remember that day? Mm-hmm. Shmini Atzeret doesn't sort of give you a new energy. There's nothing new, there's nothing to think about, there's nothing. So this idea of celebrating the completion of the Torah in Bavel was a terrific idea. So terrific that in Eretz Yisrael today, Shmini Atzeret is unreasonable. Because Shmini Atzeret and Simchat Torah the same day. In Chutz La'aretz, it's sort of divided up. Shmini Atzeret is the day that you say, should I sit the sukkah, should I sit the sukkah? And then the second day is the day where you have Simchat Torah. But in Eretz Yisrael, today, in the same day, on the same day, the last day of Sukkot, you have Kriyat HaTorah, everybody gets an Aliyah, you have Yizkor, you have Geshem, I mean, just too many things on the same day, but that's because it was really a diaspora kind of holiday in Bavel, and it became collapsed into Eretz Yisrael, where thankfully they didn't decide to add another day. Even though in Eretz Yisrael we do have 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, which also is a different conversation, but it's a little bit hard to understand why there should be 2 days of Rosh Hashanah in Eretz Yisrael, but it can be ultimately understood. Now, so Zman Matan Torah Teinu, Zman Matan Torah Teinu is the way we call the holiday, at least formally. Maybe informally you say Shavuos today, but formally when you daven Shemona Esrei, when you say Kiddush, you say Zman Matan Torah Teinu. It took over the holiday of Shavuot. The old holiday of Shavuot, which is about Katsir and Bikurim and Shavuot, was all replaced in the way we think about it by Zman Matan Torah Teinu. So that even though the Torah doesn't want us to do this, you might say, because after all, the Torah left us confused about what the day of Matan Torah was. Was it Vav Sivan or Zayin Sivan, according to Machloket Gemara? So that itself seems to indicate to me that the Torah didn't want you to make anything out of this. The Torah didn't want you to celebrate Zman Matan Torah Teinu. And the celebration of Matan Torah Teinu is not very clear. Not very clear what it is. Okay, now I want to read a little bit of the Gemara. The Gemara says, this is a Gemara in the end of the Gillah, Batseret Kor'im Shiva Shavuot Maftirin B'Chabakuk. So the Gemara lists all the parashiyot, the special parashiyot that you read on special days, like Pesach and Sukkot and like Ta'aniyot. The Kriyat HaTorah, besides the Kriyat HaTorah that goes from the beginning to the end, parasha after parasha, there are special Kriyat HaTorah that we read on special days, and they are generally included in regular Sidurim. All these different Kriyat HaTorah, certainly they're included in Matsorim. Now you see where it says Acherim Omrim, there's another opinion, right? B'chodesh HaShlishi. This is all about Atzeret. What is Atzeret? Atzeret is another name for Shavuot. Atzeret Adachak. It's another name for Shavuot, although we don't call it. It's not a name that we use. These three names that I told you are the names that we use. So on Atzeret there is an opinion. Acherim umrim. B'chodesh HaShlishi. What's B'chodesh HaShlishi? The first words of the first perek in Shmot Perek Yutet. Shmot Perek Yutet. You should remember a few prakim. Even though they were instituted by Goyim, there's nothing we can do about that. Too late. So even though Jews don't say Yutet, they say Yitro. But Perek Yutet narrows it down a little bit. Perek Yutet Pasuk Aleph says that by Yom HaChodesh HaShlishi they got to Har Sinai. So if you read, this is the time of the Gemara, right? Acherim Omrim in the time of the Gemara, Emoraim, before 500. That's a long time ago, right? 500 CE. A long time ago. They read the parasha. What parasha? Of Matan Torah on Shavuot, just as we do today. We do today. You know, there's an interesting feature in the parasha on Shavuot, that there are two ways, two sets of Ta'amei HaMikra, what they used to call truck. You know, these cantillation marks. There are two sets of them. One is called upper, and the other is called lower. And we read it differently on Shavuot than we do when we read the parasha of Yitro. To distinguish it, it's not the same. It's something special. So that the Gemara already tells us that you read the parasha, the special parasha that we read on Shavuot, which has to do with the holiday itself. You picked something from the whole Torah that had something to do with Shavuot. You didn't pick the psukim that call it Bikurim or the Chag HaKatzir or even Shavuot. What do you read? What parasha do you read on Shavuot? You read the parasha of Matan Torah. So already, of course, it's Acherim Omrim. Acherim, the word Acherim means there are others who say. But those others, right, this group, right, you see what it says again? Batzeret Korin Shiva Shavuot. Shiva Shavuot. That was the emphasizing this idea of Svirat HaOmer. Acherim Omrim. What does Acherim Omrim mean? Not only are there those who say, but there must have been those who did. They did it this way. The ones who said, they came into the Beit Midrash or into the yeshiva, and they said, read the parasha of Matan Torah. So they did it that way. And not only did they do it that way, but they won. Because today, every Jew, every place in the world, reads the parasha of B'chodesh HaShlishi on Shavuot. So you see that there was a complete takeover of the holiday called Shavuot by another holiday called Zman Matan Torateinu, in spite of the fact that there is no hint to any of this in the Torah or in earlier discussions saying that except for this one Gemara that I just quoted to you, that's the only place that you feel that there might have been a transfer, something happened. People realize that this opportunity to have Zman Matan Torateinu is a real opportunity. Rashi, this is Rashi from the Gemara. So Rashi says, Aina Dika Tre Yome Yabdina Ketavayu. That's not in the, it's at the bottom. You see, for Aina. Either now, we do both of them because we're talking about Chutz La'aretz. Chutz La'aretz, the 2 days of Shavuot. So one day they read this parasha, and the other day they read the other parasha. But in the Gemara, that's not the case. The case in the Gemara was that there was a difference of opinion of what Shavuot really was. Was Shavuot the last day of Svirat HaOmer? Or was Shavuot Zman Matan Torateinu? And in Eretz Yisrael, there is only one day of Shavuot. We read the parasha beginning with the words B'chodesh HaShlishi. Rashi says, "Dekame Acherim, Dinu Batra'ei Letanakama." It's Acherim, were later, right? You know, since the first opinion comes first, and Nachairim comes second, so that indicates to Rashi that the first opinion was the earlier opinion, which we would call the second opinion was a later edition. And even though it was a later edition, and usually we paskin like the earlier position. In this case, the later position took over everything. Zman Mishkan Toratenu, right? L'tarakama b'chodesh ha'shlishi u'mafti b'merkova. Okay, so that's what Rashi adds. So on this Gemara, there's an interesting comment that's made by Tosfot, which is repeated by this pre-tzaddik that I have, and we want to learn a little bit of this pre-tzaddik, and then try to summarize this whole thing. Hidei b'kol ha'shanim, korin v'ashat b'amidbar. This is the connection to b'amidbar. He says that the parasha of Bamidbar, this Shabbos, is always read Kodem Chag HaShavuot. For who? Kedeita b'Tosfot. This is the daf we were just learning. He says there is a Tosfot who says Tiba Batchil Kilelot Sheletam Hazeh Cholkim Parshat Nitzavim VaYelech Lishnayim. He says, the Gemara says this is similar to our minhag of dividing up the parashiyot of Nitzavim and Vayelech. Right? What's the tzadah shaveh between Nitzavim and Vayelech? They're both very short. And since they're both very short, you wouldn't think that you would divide them up. You divide up long parashas, long sections, but why divide up the Sabim and Vayela? So he says, Kishechal Shabbat ben Yom Kippur the Sukkot, when there's an extra Shabbat between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, let's skip that abbreviation. Arichut Yoter Kedei Lavsik Kodem Rosh Hashanah Beparashat Nitzavim, Bein Haklalot Shebemishnei Torah, Kodem Rosh Hashanah. So this is like an interesting idea. And this idea, he says that after Nitzavim Vayelech is coming up, right? Rosh Hashanah is coming. Now before Nitzavim Vayelech, you have the parasha of Kitavo. I hope this is not too, calling too much on memory here. Parsha Kitavo is a klala. But just like there was, we talked about that at the end of Bechukotai. There's a parsha, a Kitavo of a klala. The reason probably is that the klala of Bechukotai was canceled. Not that the klala was canceled, but the agreement was canceled. When the Jews in the parsha, in the book of Bamidbar, refused to go to Eretz Yisrael, where the Meraglim came and did whatever they did in the parish of Shlach. So you had this agreement A was cancelled and replaced by agreement B, which was in the parish of Kitavo. The agreement contains a few psukim of bracha and a lot of psukim of klala. So the Tosfot says, well, we don't want to go into Rosh Hashanah riding on the backs of that klalak. So whenever it comes out that there's an extra Shabbos between Kitavo and Rosh Hashanah, we say the parashiyot, we divide up Nitzavim and Vayelech so that the Shabbos before Rosh Hashanah there'll be Vayelech and not Kitavo. That's what Tosfot says. What? Shechal Shabbat ben Yom Kippur l'Sukkot, v'arichut yoter kedei lafsik kodem Rosh Hashanah v'parashat Nitzavim ben haklalot v'mishnei Torah kodem Rosh Hashanah. Uchemochein, says that's true about Rosh Hashanah. I'm on the 1, 2, 3, 4th line in the middle. Kemochein, korim parashat Bamidbar kodem Atzeret. So we read the parasha of Bamidbar this Shabbos before Shavuot, right? Kodem Atzeret. Before Shavuot, Kedei Lavsik Bein HaKlalot Shebetorat Kohanim, Lechaya Shavuot, Ayen Shavuot, all of this is stated in the Tosfot, in Megillah, Dav Lamed Aleph. He just sort of copied it out. Then sort of, he actually copied it out. Ayen Shav. Lechaora, Ain't a must speak. She Yutzrach, Davka Likrot, Parshat Bamidbar, Kodin. Shehalo ayamim shebein parashat bechukotai lechag yebahem gam kein hefsek. He says, after all, isn't it true that Shavuot doesn't usually come the day after Shabbat as it does this year? And if there are a few days in between the parasha of bechukotai and Shavuot, why isn't that good enough? Why don't we read the parasha Bamidbar? Why does that have to be the thing that divides? So he says, "Shei parashat bechukotai lachag, ye b'hem kam kedem seik amnam ki ikar hatavu b'kriyat hatochachot kodem atzeret v'kodem rosh hashanah." This is the problem, that if you read the tochacha before atzeret Shavuot and before Rosh Hashanah, kedei shetichle hashana ukilaloteha. He says, what we want is to kind of end the klalot. That's it. The klalot are finished. We did it. Right? Kidesh tichle hashana v'kilolotea kivosh avru b'gmara sham v'avseku kidesh tachel hashana u'birchoteha. That on the one hand, we like to put a stop to the klalot. On the other hand, we want to be careful that the bracha can get in there. And said, "V'zeh daika al yedei kriyat haparasha b'Shabbat shekodem hachag ki Shabbat hu yimei hamaaseh habaim." Because Shabbat somehow controls the week that is coming, and therefore we want to implant the idea of bracha before Shavuot comes. And if we just had days in between the Klala and Rosh Hashanah, that wouldn't be good enough. Wouldn't be good enough to implant this idea. Just one second. V'zeh daika al yedei kriyat haparasha b'Shabbat shekodem achah. Ki Shabbat hu mikora debracha. Shabbat is, after all, the source of all brachot. Right? You know that? Because the Pasuk says in Ekev, in the parish of Ekev, Vachalta, Visavata, Uveirachta, Et Hashem Elokecha, what's the continuation? Al Ha'aretz HaTova, Asher Natan Lach. And you all know very well that the first bracha of Birkat HaMazon is Azan Et Hakol. Azan et hakol. Now that's pretty good, right? What's the second bracha? Ala aretz v'ala mazon. What do you need haaretz? You have to give a bracha for the aretz. You've already given bracha number one, which is azan et hakol. That should take care of it. But God feeds everything. You're thankful. What is ala aretz v'ala mazon? So this question is asked in the Zohar. This question is asked in the Zohar, and I'm going to tell you what the Zohar says, but don't tell me that I'm corrupting you in any way. The Zohar says that all bracha comes into the world through Eretz Yisrael. That this tzinor, the pipe that brings things from heaven into earth, passes through Yerushalayim and Beit HaMikdash, and then goes out into the whole world. And so when we say the bracha, I mean, that's what the pasuk means. V'chalta v'savata v'erachta et Hashem Elokecha al ha'aretz ha'tova asher natan lach. Why is it ha'aretz ha'tova? Because it's the source of bracha for the entire world. In a similar way, also in the Zohar, that Tzadok says that Shabbos is the source of bracha. And therefore, if you want to make a distinction between the klalot, either of Bechukotai or of Ki Tavo, and whatever's coming after them, you need Shabbat. You need Shabbat. It's not that you need the time or the space, but you need Shabbat in particular. You need Shabbat in particular. And that's why we have to read another parashat on that Shabbat. Ki Shabbat hu, seven lines from the bottom. Mikorah de bracha. Mikol bracha v'ilav etata v'yoma. Shviya talyan u'mimena mitchabrim kol sheishet yimei ha-maseh. So this is a quote from the Zohar, you know, this kind of Aramaic. It's the Aramaic of the Zohar, which is usually quite, you know, simple and straightforward. V'hu t'chila l'mikra'i kodesh, t'chila. Is that what we say in Kiddush? T'chila l'mikra'i kodesh. Even though you may remember that Shabbat was created at the end, but it's t'chila l'mikra'i kodesh. It's at the head, the apex, the only, the one from which we derive Mikra'i Kodesh and all other special days, Shemimenu Novea Kedushat HaMoadim Haba'im B'Sheishet Yimei HaMaaseh Shelacharav. V'hinei Yom Tov Shel Atzeret Lo Yizdamein Lefi Cheshboneinu Le'olam B'Shabbat Atzmo. And so he says, the way we do it, Shavuot will never fall on Shabbat. Sheishit mi'amatzeh shalacharav. Yom tov shel atzeret, again, I'm reading it, four lines from the bottom. Lo yistamein lefi cheshboneinu la'olam b'Shabbat atzmo. Rak b'echad b'sheishit mi'amatzeh. Shabbat, Shavuot is also always one of the 6 days. It's never going to fall on Shabbat. So you have to have a Shabbat that doesn't have a klala. And that's why we organized it so that we always read Bamidbar. Always read Bamidbar on the Shabbat before Shavuot. Rosh Hashanah, gam shizdamei lefamim, sheira b'Shabbat atzmo, and kol ze alo disharak Shabbat achad al parashat ha'azinu, kidei lesayem ha-Torah b'simchat Torah kadosh. Okay, I'm not going to go into that. If you turn the page, we get to the parasha of Bamidbar. See? Hine hashra'at ha-bracha, the devolving bracha, the kriyat parashat Bamidbar yidaita, yesh lomar bazeh, ba'avin lama nikra ha-sefer hazeh, b'mishnah diyoma, b'shem chumash ha-pkudim. This is a question, the Ramban asked this question, the Netziv asked this question, and the Pritzadik asked the question in the chronological order. In the Gemara, the book of Bamidbar is called Pikudim. Pikudim, what's a good translation? Noticing things. Right? Yom Pakdi or Pakadati. God notices. It's the time of noticing. But specifically, they're referring to the counting. The fact that people are counted in the book of Bamidbar. Al Shem Amispar Shal B'nei Yisrael Shnizkarbo. So how come the Chachamim called it Pikudim? It's true that they counted the people in the parish of Bamidbar, right? We're talking about Bamidbar. We got to Bamidbar somehow. So the Chachamim call it Chumash Pikudim. So the Pritzadik says, look, I mean, it's very important to count the people, but it's not like world-shaking. And it's ideas. Were there other things in the parasha of Bamidbar? Why were they so taken up with it? Amnam u'al derech sheita b'midrash rabba. Hamisha pa'amim or keneged hamisha chumshei Torah. Vayavdel elokim bein ha'or v'ein ha'choshech neged sefer Bamidbar shemavdil bein yotzei Mitzrayim l'va'ei ha'aretz. It's the difference The important thing about the book of Bamidbar is, it quotes a Medrash, it doesn't matter, but the important thing about the book of Bamidbar in general is that it's Mavdil Bein Yotzei Mitzrayim LaNichnasim LaEretz Yisrael. So if you remember the book of Bamidbar by heart, and if you don't, there's still time. So you know that the people were counted twice. The people were counted twice. First they were counted in the parasha of Bamidbar. And then much later on, at the end of the 38 years of draying around, they were counted again. They were counted again in the parasha of Pinchas. And so the first counting was the counting of Yotzei Mitzrayim, the Jews who left Mitzrayim. And the second counting is the counting of the Jews who came into Eretz Yisrael. And so the Medrash calls, says that the Pasuk, Vayavdel, Bein Ha'or, Bein Ha'choshek, that God distinguished the light from the dark, that's the book of Bamidbar. Because Bamidbar, this Bamidbar recognizes the fact that there was a new generation, that the essential difference between Yitziat Mitzrayim and Knisah LaEretz Canaan was that even though there was an imperfection in both, but the people of Yitziat Mitzrayim grew up without the Torah. And the people who came to Eretz Israel with the Torah. And so we have a kind of a special connection between two connections, between the parasha of Bamidbar, which sort of emphasizes for us, if we remember Pinchas from last year, emphasizes the fact there's a difference when you talk to going to Eretz Israel, going with the Torah, or coming out of Mitzrayim, bereft of the Torah, unable. So as in history, what happened was, whatever the reasons, what happened was that the people who left Mitzrayim did not get to Eretz Israel, and the people who came to Eretz Israel were the people who received the Torah. So according to the pre-tzaddik, there's another reason to emphasize the Torah as part of the process. The Torah is part of the process which led B'nai Yisrael to Eretz Israel, and that's somehow infused in Bamidbar, because when you get to Bamidbar, you say, well, why did the Chachamim call it Chumash Pekudim? Why? Is there anything else important? The answer is, there is nothing else that is important. And since Bamidbar, the parasha of Bamidbar, it's tied irrevocably to Shavuot, the knowledge that we call Shavuot. But you see that hidden in Shavuot is also Matan Torah in the parasha of Bamidbar. It's not just that we read the parasha of Bamidbar before Shavuot to make a break between the Klala and Shavuot, but there's something more essential about the parasha of Bamidbar that makes it the perfect corollary to Shavuot, especially like this year when we read Bamidbar and then we have Shavuot immediately thereafter. I would like to make one more comment, if I may. Chagim, what?
Just explain, I'm not sure.
Let's explain.
The reading in Bamidbar is not the Yotzei Mitzrayim, the counting?
The three-eyed, right.
It's not the counting.
No, but we call it, we remind ourselves, the Chazal call it Chumash Pekudim.
Right.
Pekudim plural. There were two Pekudim, and so we remember all that. We remember all that, and that memory makes sense, according to the pre-tzaddik.
So it's that and the one at Pinchas.
Yeah. But then there are two kinds of holidays that the Jews have. One kind of holiday is where we try to recreate the past. We try to recreate the past. That's Pesach and Sukkot. On both of these days, on Pesach, we left the triad, we were forced to eat matzah, everything was quick, we tell the story, we recreate the past. We are, I mean, you could say that the past affects the present, blah, 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 but we start from the past. That's where we start from. Right? There's no doubt about it. We said they're eating a matzah. The only rationale, or primary rationale, is because that's what they did. They ate matzot. I mean, after that, it gets a little more difficult. But we understand that we were creating the past. When it comes to sitting in a sukkah, consider the king of Sukkot, of Shabbat, the end of the day, Yisrael, but we do what they did. We did what they, and if there is a kind of current aspect to it, if there is some way that the rabbi in the synagogue can touch it and make it now, a now mitzvah, there's no doubt that it originates as an imitation of then. Right? Then is important to us. Have we learned the lesson? Have we proceeded properly? Right? Then is a very important idea. Matan Torah is different. Matan Torah Bechlal is different. You see, you know that in the memory, the Jewish memory, Har Sinai, it doesn't exist. There's no such thing as Har Sinai. What do I mean? If you went to a book, a geography book, or a book with maps in it, and you looked for Har Sinai, immediately you'd say, you'd see that there are two Mount Sinais in the Sinai Desert. In this book that you have, not a Jewish book, a book, a Bible geography book, or the one from Mozart or Rav Kook, you see there's one in the north and one in the south. Now that's a little strange, isn't it, to think that the Torah was given in two different places? But we never had anything to do with that. We Jews, we don't try to figure it out. We don't run tours to Har Sinai. We don't have a pilgrimage on Shavuot to go to Har Sinai and read the Torah. Even though a great rabbi once did do that, but then he gave up. Why is that? Why is that? Because in Matan Torah, the event of Matan Torah has really two parts in it. One is that God gave the Torah, and the other is that we accepted the Torah. I mean, there are two parts. But you remember that the first time Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Har Sinai and saw what was going on in the camp, he broke the Luchot. Now, why did he break the Luchot? He broke the Luchot because he had no one to give them to. There was no one there without corrupting the whole idea. So he broke them. I mean, it was not like, it wasn't simple chutzpah. It was the right thing to do at that particular moment. So there's Kabbalat HaTorah, that the holiday, which we call Matan Torah, may really be the holiday of Kabbalat HaTorah. And if it's the holiday of Kabbalat HaTorah, then it doesn't really have a time. It doesn't really exist in time. Because Kabbalat HaTorah is a devolving obligation, right? Throughout the generations, every person who comes up the bat has a new obligation to accept the Torah. It's like never ending. I mean, you could sit in somebody else's sukkah, and you could eat at somebody else's seder, but you can't accept the Torah by proxy. Really. You can't. You might want to get an advantage, you know, like Yisachar and Zvulun, but you have to be accepting of the Torah on your own. You have to make the brachot every day on your own. And since you have to accept the Torah every day on your own, it becomes a kind of a timeless holiday. It becomes a timeless holiday, so that the holiday that we celebrate, the idea that we say, Matan Torah Teinu, Man Matan Torah Teinu, means we can kind of fix it, but not really. We know when Matan Torah Teinu was. But there's a minhag. There's an interesting minhag, which is counter-indicated by any stretch of anybody's imagination. And that is, you should stay up all night long and learn Torah. Now, why would anybody think they could stay up all night long and learn Torah? They don't ever do that. It's not like people are staying up all night. That's not their normal schedule. But they stay up all night to emphasize the fact that their obligation on Zman Matan Torah Teinu is Kabbalat HaTorah. And that Kabbalat HaTorah happens now. It could happen every day of Sfirat HaOmer. It could happen after Sfirat HaOmer is over. It becomes the timeless aspect of it. So that if you add together some of these ideas, the idea of reading Bamidbar, the idea of Sefer Pekudim, the idea of the timelessness of accepting the Torah and Matan Torah, the difference between Yotzei Mitzrayim and Eilish and the Chlesul, the Eretz Kinan, I think you sort of get a feeling for what is going on Shavuot. Maybe not with great precision, but a notion that might be good. Yeah?
The Beis HaLevi, I just have the Beis HaLevi, it's exactly what you said about the Matan Torah
and Steve Mitzrayim.
He explains the Machlokes in Yom Dabtalash.
The Matan Torah, what?
He says, the Machlokes is about whether it was given on 6th or 7th.
Yeah,
because he says the 7th. So basically he says, what is the purpose of Matan Torah or Kabbalat HaTorah?
There you go.
The base of Yossi is Kabbalat HaTorah.
Well, I hope you don't blame me. I don't remember it at all, but that doesn't mean that I didn't steal it.
You know,
the best things that anybody ever says are things that he forgot. Okay. Have a good Shabbos.